May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So we have just heard the familiar parable about the barren fig tree. The parable talks about repentance, but what about that tree? Why should a story about a tree that's not producing any fruit be of interest to us? What is God saying to us this morning through this parable? Are we more like that fig tree than we realize? If we don't bear fruit, will we perish? If we don't bear fruit, will someone want to cut us down? Will God want to cut us down? It is clear that these trees are expected to bear fruit within a certain period of time. 3 years is too long to go without producing, without bearing fruit. It's not at all hard for me to visualize God as the owner of the vineyard, Christ tending to the vines, and the fig tree might be you or me, or perhaps even this church. But it really doesn't matter what our interpretation is, because no matter how we see it, one thing has been made clear to us. God has come to the vineyard expecting the tree to bear fruit. The text seems to point to four areas worth noting. The first has to do with privilege. What possible privilege could be bestowed upon a fig tree? Well, the privilege of being planted in the first place. The privilege of having been planted in the vineyard by God Himself. Like that fig tree, we are each of us only here today because God Himself planted us here. We are all the plantings of an almighty God. And we have been planted in the same sense that the fig tree was planted. Did you ever notice how in a vineyard or tree farm, that trees are never planted in isolation or by themselves? They are planted among other trees, some of which are already bearing fruit. So too are we. In fact, there's probably a tree in your row, maybe even sitting right next to you, that's bearing fruit right now. We know this because we can see it. It's full, it's beautiful, it reaches out. There can be a variety of trees in a vineyard and yet be a difference in the fruits between them, each beautiful in its own right. But there is no fruit on the fig tree in this parable. How is it that a tree can be planted in the same vineyard, in the same row, given the same food, the same water, just like all the other trees, yet bear no fruit? I don't know that I fully know the answer to that. But how is it that there may also be a tree on the same row, maybe even sitting right next to you today, that has had the same privilege of being planted here, that hears the same sermons, that has the same worship experience, but bears no spiritual fruit. Now, being human beings, it's easy to perhaps blame the ground for the lack of fruit. But the owner of the vineyard wouldn't plant a tree in ground where he or she doesn't have the expectation that it will grow and bear fruit. It's the same for us being planted in God's kingdom. Faith is good ground. Hope is good ground. Christ Church Cathedral is good ground and has been for nearly 200 years. This, all of this, is good ground. If we don't believe that, then why do we come here week after week, month after month, Sunday after Sunday? Why do we do it? Year after year, some of us decades after decades. Now, looking out, I know we Episcopalians aren't inclined to show any emotion in church, but can somebody, anybody, give me a sign that you know that this is good ground? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. In addition to privilege, there is the matter of purpose. The purpose of the fig tree, which of course is to bear fruit. Like that fig tree, it is helpful to come to an understanding that God expects us to bear fruit. Fruit for each other, fruit for the kingdom of God. Somebody ought to be able to see that there's something going on with us, that we're bearing some kind of spiritual fruit, that the gospel lives deep inside of us. So if the first thing is privilege and the second thing is purpose, then the next thing is production. Again, the owner of the vineyard came looking to see what the fig tree had produced. It had been planted and nurtured, and there was the expectation that the tree would produce fruit. But in today's parable, the vineyard owner comes and finds, again, no fruit. The tree had as much time as the others, 3 years. 3 years and no fruit. It is suggested that since the tree has no fruit, it is wasting the soil and should be cut down. Can you imagine what it would be like if God treated us that way? If she cut us down or replaced us whenever she didn't get what she expected of us? Which brings me to the next point. It's kind of a double-edged sword. Patience and pardon. The Lord steps in and says, I know you expected fruit, and there's no fruit right now, but why don't you give it one more year? Just give it one more year. Let me work with it. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Now, this is where I have a little trouble with the parable. I have an issue with this fertilizer. If I ever get the chance to speak to God, I have a laundry list of questions I fully intend to ask. And one of them has to do with the choice of manure to help things grow. There certainly had to be better smelling choices. I mean, this is God we're talking about. Absolutely everything is at God's disposal. So I just have to know, why did God go with manure of all things? Well, I suppose it's God's way of saying that I can use all the manure in your life and make it a blessing in your life. I'll show you that something beautiful can grow through a steaming pile of manure, and eventually the manure will disappear and you will have something beautiful and you will forget that the manure was ever there. And just like God was willing to work on that barren tree, God is willing to work on us. God sees the potential for growth in us, even when we don't see it ourselves. What if God were to tell us we only had one more year to get it together, to produce some spiritual fruit? What would we do? Maybe we should think about that. I mean, really think about it. Maybe God also sees the fruits of repentance in this season of Lent. One of the benefits of this long Lenten season is that it gives us time to think about the changes we need to make in our lives to get back on track and truly live as disciples of Christ. What do we hear the Spirit saying to us today? What changes do we need to make? Are we willing to stop doing things we shouldn't be doing? Are we willing to stop going places we shouldn't be going? Are we willing to stop spending money that we shouldn't be spending? Crossing lines we shouldn't be crossing? Are we doing better when we know better? What is the purpose of us drawing breath, using resources, and taking up space on this planet? If we cannot answer that, or our answer is weak at best, then just consider for a brief moment that the unproductive fig tree in today's parable could be a symbol of our lives. We are alive. We are alive because we have been planted. We have a place in God's vineyard. But are we producing fruit? What happens if God comes back to find nothing in the way of spiritual fruits among us? Fruits like peace, love, and joy, like kindness, patience, and compassion. There ought to be some love, peace, and joy evident in our lives. Will God judge us based on what we have produced in the way of fruits of the Spirit? God wants us to find the answer. And I think we may know the answer, but it scares me. And maybe I'm a little afraid because Jesus didn't say what happened, whether the fig tree bore fruit the next year or not. But I think the message is clear. If it doesn't, it will be kindling. The good news in all of this is that God is merciful and willing to forgive. Today's parable tells us that. The bad news is that even God's patience and mercy have their limits. The parable also tells us that. This parable of a barren fig tree reveals to us a vital truth. Repentance is necessary, and it is possible with God's help. God wants us to have the time to change and bear fruit. At the same time, none of us knows exactly how much time we have. So we better repent while we can. God is always inspecting the vineyard, checking on the condition of the trees. God's desire is that each one is given sufficient time to produce abundant fruit. We know that the point of today's parable is not the lack of fruit on the tree, but the willingness of God to give the tree another chance to bear fruit, even to spend extra time giving it loving care. Perhaps Abigail Kocher stated it best in Feasting on the Gospels when she said this: "The gospel of the second chance is not about what we can do to redeem ourselves or how we can put right our wrongs, neither which are possible. It is about letting God bring forth fruit from our lives that we could never have produced on our own. Lord, dig around me one more time. If I'm root bound, pull me up. Shake the dirt off my roots. If I'm covered in leaves and I can't breathe, sweep them away. If I'm not in the place where you want me, plant me someplace else. Lord, dig around me one more time." Amen.